This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we are just day away. That's right, day away. Maybe hours now by the time you're seeing this from the NFL Draft, which we're going to be covering live on our Fantasy Pros channel. Don't forget to join us for the draft, 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, live. Did I mention it's live? Because it's live. And, of course, these two gentlemen are going to be there with me talking more draft, Pat Fitzmaurice, Matthew Friedman. Today's show, we're going to look at some of the team perspectives in terms of wagering. So we're going to talk about what some teams might be looking to add and where the possible landing spots for some of these players will indeed be. We're going to break that all down for you. And don't forget, we are brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sports books. Use that promo code JUICE to get up to $1,000 in free bonus bets, even if you don't win. So sign up today at BetMGM. And gentlemen, it has been a wild few weeks of speculation, of talk. So there's not too much speculation left. It's time to put our money where our mouth is. So let's get after it with the number two pick, because that's all anybody wants to talk about in the last few days. I know Pat Fitzmaurice was on Reddit trying to, you know, put rumors out there, all kinds of things going on. But let's start with the Houston Texans and what the heck they're going to do. Some people are saying it's going to be Tyree Wilson. If you like that, it's plus 250. If you like the crazy Will Levis stuff, it's plus 175. If you're like me and you just think it's CJ Stroud and this is all nonsense, it's plus 380. It seems like Young is locked in here, Pat, as the number one guy. So who is number two for the Texans, assuming they stay there?
Man, all the heat seems to be with Tyree Wilson, Joe. And I just, maybe I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around that one just because I think that's a suboptimal decision for the Texans, although it is the Texans. So I guess that makes it more plausible. I just don't understand how DeMeco Ryans could, like, you know, with the access he has to the Alabama program, having come from Alabama himself, conceivably take Tyree Wilson over Will Anderson, who, like, after Will Anderson's sophomore year, if someone would have, offered me a prop that Anderson would not be a top three pick the following year, like, I would have bet my, you know, entire net worth on that, even though that's a small amount. But it just doesn't seem like, unless NFL teams are so infatuated with the Calais Campbell body type, Tyree Wilson, to me, doesn't really make sense there. But, you know, we've heard that reported by Lance Zierlein, who's really dialed in with the Texans. We've heard it reported by Peter Schrager on NFL Network. I'm not going to bet Tyree Wilson. I'm mildly intrigued by a long shot Anthony Richardson bet here at about like plus 3,000, just because I think it's possible that Richardson goes a lot higher than people are expecting.
He would be a project. Interesting spot to try to develop him, though. That's the only problem. Will Anderson plus 320, by the way, for this number two overall pick. Look, Friedman, I want to get your take on this, because here's my hot take on all this. The terms of the who leaked the test score stuff, what do you think about the idea that Carolina leaked it just so they could say to everybody, look, Bryce Young's clearly the guy. We're making the right decision for all the draft capital moved. What do you think of that? It has nothing to do with the Texans altogether. Did I just blow your mind?
No, I haven't really thought too much about who's leaking it. And I honestly don't know if it matters. But on the topic of the Panthers and Bryce Young, he's now only minus 1,000 in the market, which I know it's like no one wants to lay that much juice. But like this number should be minus 5,000. So I'm not saying go put 10 units on this, but just like put something on it, because this number is way off because of the Will Levis Reddit thread that we saw yesterday. I actually think, as ridiculous as it sounds, that there is value in Bryce Young at minus 1,000 to be the number one pick. So I would put a little bit on that. And then in terms of number two, man, I thought that I would have Will Levis going number two in my mock because like it makes sense. If you're the Texans, you need a quarterback and you can't really you can't let other teams dictate to you the future of your franchise by saying, okay, we're going to take a quarterback at 12. Like you can't do that if there's a guy that you prefer out of the three remaining quarterbacks on the board. But it seems that they just really dislike all of these quarterbacks so much outside of Bryce Young that they are going to go edge rusher at number two. And then with that 12 pick, or maybe moving up a little bit to 10 or to 8, they are able to take a quarterback there. But Will Levis at plus 300, he's someone who, you know, like if I'm going quarterback, it's Levis at plus 300. He's the guy I would be looking at there. Well, I believe it's Stroud. Whatever it is, it's not Stroud.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll continue to stand on this island by myself, and we'll find out what happens on Thursday night. That should be fun, because really we spend a lot of time on the number two pick because so much of what happens at two is going to impact then the next eight picks after. So the top 10 could be really changed out. Now, a lot of people think Arizona could possibly move out from where they are. Friedman, we have Tyree Wilson at plus 300, Stroud at plus 350. He's not going to go there. Probably more looking at Anderson or Wilson. So plus 300 at Wilson, plus 400 for Anderson. Where would you put right now one of those guys in terms of the better investment for number three if Arizona stays there?
Yeah, honestly, if Arizona stays, a lot of this is so dependent on what happens at two. But if they stay, edge rusher is where I would personally lean. But you have gotten a whole bunch of buzz about offensive tackle Paris Johnson at number three, you know, presumably thinking we need someone to protect Kyler Murray because this guy just gets hurt every year. I sort of get it, but I would lean still edge rusher. I think it is too early to take Paris Johnson at number three. That feels like a magnificent reach, whereas taking Tyree Wilson at number three feels like only a slight reach. Like number three, like that's the general range for Tyree Wilson. That's fine. So I would lean a little more towards Wilson over Paris Johnson. And I'm looking at FanDuel right now, plus 500 for Tyree Wilson. I think that's actually a reasonable bet.
All right. Do you agree there, Pat, with Matthew's assessment?
I do. And I tend to agree with Friedman's take on the two pick, where it just seems so suboptimal for the Texans not to go quarterback at number two, leaving the edge spot for the Cardinals if they stay there. I do think there's probably some value on Tyree Wilson at plus 500. But man, I just feel like the odds of the Cardinals actually making this pick are low. Like, I think they would be bitterly disappointed if they made this pick and there wasn't enough heat on the quarterbacks for anyone to want to trade up to number three.
Well, whenever it comes to bitter disappointment, it typically goes hand in hand with the Arizona Cardinals. Indianapolis Colts are right now up at four. So the consensus for a long time, Pat, has been Will Levis. So that seems to be one of the hotter bets there that one can make on this number four overall pick. If indeed the Colts stay there, Will Levis at plus 130. The most updated has Stroud at plus 210, then Richardson at plus 300. It feels like quarterback here, Pat. Could this be the reach for Richardson? Is this the best of the three wagers because you're getting the best money? Or in terms of odds, would you rather just, you know, get it right and get the plus 130 when it comes to Levis if he's still on the board?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's enough of a chance that Levis isn't on the board with the Texans taking him. So that's kind of not where I want to go here. I'm more interested in Stroud or Richardson at those prices. I do have a modest bet on Stroud right now at number four.
Okay. Friedman, if indeed Levis goes to the Texans at two, that leaves Stroud and Richardson ready to go. Do you think it's smarter to bet this now and lock in one of these prices or wait and see things unfold and bet it live during the draft if that change starts to happen?
Yeah, I think it's Richardson or Stroud. I lean a little bit more towards Richardson at this point. And, you know, thinking a little bit more about the number three pick and about trades, right? I don't see the Colts trading up to number three. And I think it will be hard for a lot of teams to trade up to number three. So I think the Colts at four are going to have their pick of quarterback. You know, even if Levis goes off the board, I think they're going to have a pick between at least two quarterbacks there. I would assume it's Stroud or Richardson. I lean Richardson at this point.
All right, let's move on to the fifth overall pick here, which could be the Seattle Seahawks staying here. We don't know. They do have a lot of picks. It feels like they probably will. Friedman, to me, this is the one where Jalen Carter really starts to enter into the conversation. Plus 350 of the odds there consensus wise for him, where it definitely feels like this would be a good start for them to kind of rebuild this defensive front. Do you agree that that is the pick to make here? Or do you see somebody falling like a Tyree Wilson to this range and you think Seattle would then go ahead and take him?
Yeah, so Rob Staton, who's a pretty sharp mock drafter and also like plugged in Seahawks blogger, he is pretty insistent that Jalen Carter will not be the pick at number five. Now, like as sharp as he is, and then we've also heard from Daniel Jeremiah, there have been whispers Seahawks won't take him at five. Todd McShay has said Seahawks won't take him at five. I'm still disagreeing. Like, I think Jalen Carter is probably the pick here at number five. Like, I can see how it doesn't happen if it's like, okay, we're building the culture. We want guys who like are good character guys and play hard and love football. That's not like the book on Jalen Carter. And so I can see how it doesn't happen, but man, the market has moved even more. Plus 100 at DraftKings, minus 115 at FanDuel for Jalen Carter to go number five. It makes all the sense in the world. The Seahawks need some big-bodied guys in the interior. Jalen Carter is one of the best defensive tackles we've seen in the draft in the past 5 years or so. You know, if not for the character concerns, he would maybe be the number one overall kind of like rated player in this class. I think it makes all of the sense for them to take him. If not, Anthony Richardson is the guy who has gotten some hype, and I am just not buying the Seahawks drafting a quarterback at number five so that he can sit behind Geno Smith for a year or two. I'm just not buying it, especially since they signed Drew Lock to a backup quarterback contract. Like Drew Lock is what Andy Dalton was last year. Like the sign that the team is not going to be drafting a quarterback.
Look, I agree 100% with you. And this is so much smoke right now this time of year, Pat. Sometimes I want to just push all the media stuff away and I just want to focus on the needs of the team and also the personality of the coaching staff and the organization, what they're willing to do sometimes. I feel like Pete Carroll is one of those guys willing to push the envelope to win. And if so, Jalen Carter is the pick. And I think it's fascinating that it's moved to the minus over on FanDuel right now, despite all the other stuff that Friedman talked about. What do you think about here at five?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a small bet down on Carter, but I got it at much better odds than this. I think it was over plus 200 when I got it. I just I think if Will Anderson falls, he would be the pick over Carter for the Seahawks. But as noted earlier, I don't think it's likely that Anderson does fall out of the top three or four. So, like, I think the value, though, on Carter has just sort of been baked out, considering some of the rumors that really the Seahawks don't want Carter. The character thing, I don't know whether that's an issue or not. I mean, the Seahawks have been a little more cavalier about character issues than some other franchises, guys like Frank Clark, who they've drafted in the past. So that's not really the hangup for me. I just think that they might have, you know, maybe they prefer Tyree Wilson if he's here. Maybe Will Anderson does, in fact, slide in is here. I think the Seahawks would take either of those guys over Carter. But, you know, I do think Carter's a possibility. I just don't think at current odds he provides any value.
Agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. 3 for 3 on that one. All right, let's go to the number 6 pick overall. Here's the Detroit Lions. First of two in the first round for them. They just moved on from Okuda. It seems like corner is the thing you want the most. Devin Witherspoon still holding strong at plus 100 in the consensus. Is it as simple as that, you think, Pat? Or you think Christian Gonzalez at +6 is the better wager investment?
With every iteration of the mock drafts I've done over the past month, I've had Witherspoon here. You know, even before they dealt Okuda away, like I think they could have gone cornerback here plausibly. And as far as Witherspoon over Gonzalez, I mean, what was it that Dan Campbell said in his introductory press conference about wanting knee biters? Was it knee biters or ankle biters? I can't remember.
Knee biters.
Kneecaps. Witherspoon. Witherspoon is a kneecap biter for sure. Like, he totally fits that. This guy is just a dog, and I think he would be a perfect fit for the Lions. But let me ask you guys this. I mean, with the Lions clearly on an upward trajectory, when is the next time they're going to pick this high in a draft? And Jared Goff is their quarterback right now. What if Anthony Richardson is sitting there for the Lions, who, by the way, have three other picks in the first two rounds and could address some of their needs with those picks? Like, I mean, I put a small bet down on Richardson here at plus 1,000.
Yeah,
and
plus 1,200 even on FanDuel on that, Friedman. Do you think Pat's onto something here with, you know, when you have this setup right now currently, maybe you just, you know, look to the future a little bit? It's not a terrible idea, especially now that Rodgers is out of the picture in that division.
Yeah, I don't hate it. And I know, like, Josh Norris, he's, you know, kind of on this bandwagon. Benjamin Solak, he's also on the idea that the Lions could take a quarterback. I don't know. I think they're comfortable enough with Goff where they can just continue to load up with all of the picks that they have and then just try to run the division there. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. Here's part of it. I don't think that the quarterbacks this year are as good as we're saying. I think they will fall down the board a little bit. Not like last year where we have only one quarterback in the first round,
right?
But I could see multiple quarterbacks falling out of the top 10.
Better than 22, as good as 21. I think that's the general consensus when it comes to those quarterbacks. Let's get to number 7 here and keep this show on the pace here, because the Raiders, certainly, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo, could be looking ahead for quarterback. Richardson is plus 1,000 to go there. They could also certainly use some offensive line help. Jimmy Garoppolo is fragile, I would say, in terms of being in that backfield, taking snaps. So Paris Johnson plus 300, Skoronski plus 800. Skoronski might be a guy to kind of move around a little bit, maybe change out, maybe move to the interior. What do you think about this pick here? Because it seems like the Raiders are a wild card, Friedman, which is fun from a betting perspective, but also a little frustrating at the same time.
Yeah, it feels cornerback or offensive line. I'm really not buying the quarterback situation. They were looking to get up to one. And then when they couldn't, they signed Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's the sign.
Good point.
And so I think cornerback is a massive position of need. They have no one who's a starter caliber corner on the roster right now. And then offensive line, you could see how they could be very desirous for Paris Johnson Jr. And like, this is kind of the first spot outside of the Cardinals, which still feels a little bit unrealistic, but whatever. This is the first spot, like, for months where people have been thinking maybe Paris Johnson goes here. So either Christian Gonzalez or Paris Johnson, I think, would be decent additions here to a betting card.
Your thoughts on this one, Pat, here, the Raiders at 7.
What vexes me about betting the 7 spot is that, you know, what if Friedman's wrong and quarterback is in play for the Raiders? Not that Friedman's ever wrong, but like, never. I don't know that the Raiders are going to be making the 7th pick. You know, if it's not them, I don't know if there's value on any single player except for perhaps Paris Johnson, because if it's not the Raiders making this pick, it's likely the Cardinals, in either the Raiders or Cardinals, could take Paris Johnson. So,
yeah.
Johnson at plus 300 seems like decent value to me.
I would say even in the trade down scenario for the Cardinals, Gonzalez or Johnson would also be on the board, because Gonzalez has been linked to the Cardinals as well, and they have the same positional needs.
Plus 300 on Gonzalez, by the way, right now. Atlanta Falcons, this is possibly the first landing spot for Bijan Robinson. Plus 250 for him. Nolan Smith plus 550. You got Christian Gonzalez at plus 650 right now. Pat, do you have a certain feel of, will Atlanta go ahead and just take Bijan and say, hey, let's support Desmond Ridder in year two with arguably the best generational running back prospect we've seen in quite some time? Or do you think they go in the defensive side of the ball with either Nolan or if Jalen Carter should fall to them?
Yeah, man, I don't know if I see any value with any of the individual options here. Like, Bijan Robinson feels irresponsible. An edge rusher, you know, an edge rusher seems like the way to go. The Falcons pass rush is terrible and seems like it has been for the last decade. But which one? I mean, there's so many possibilities. Maybe even Tyree Wilson could slide and be here. So they need a cornerback too. They've just released Casey Hayward, and you know, they've got Jeffrey Okuda penciled in as a starter, who, you know, as Matt Friedman has pointed out many times in the fantasy end of things, is not a shutdown cornerback. So
no.
Number eight is a total mystery to me. I don't think there's much value in Bijan. I can't see the Falcons, with all their screaming needs on defense and some on the offensive line too, taking a running back here.
Friedman, with all the screaming needs, what screams the loudest?
I would just pass on all of this. I would say Nolan Smith is the one who seems the most intriguing, and you know, he's plus 550. Bijan Robinson, the market is just totally tapped out on him at plus 250.
Okay, let's close out these top 10 here. The Chicago Bears, I know they want Paris Johnson at plus 380. That's, of course, what they would love to have, it feels like. Do you think, Friedman, that's exactly, if he still floats there, that's the pick? Or do you think it never makes it to Chicago over at nine?
You know, what's really interesting, if you look at the market at nine, Darnell Wright is actually priced ahead of Paris Johnson Jr. And there has been some serious smoke linking Darnell Wright, because he's like that pure right tackle, was awesome last year. And there's the idea that, like, they plug him in at right tackle, where they've seen him dominate, you know, and just in terms of talent, maybe actually better than Paris Johnson Jr. last year. And so even though Johnson is, you know, has like the higher expected draft position, this might be one of those specific, like, circumstance based picks where you actually would go Darnell Wright ahead of Paris Johnson Jr. And so, like, in my mock draft, that's one area where I'm struggling. I wouldn't be betting any of this, like Jalen Carter, Darnell Wright, Paris Johnson Jr. Like, all of their odds are low enough in the market to where it's just like, I'm going to stay away. But for me, it's not automatic that it's Paris Johnson. This could be Wright.
All right. Real quick, Pat, give me your thoughts on number nine, the Chicago Bears.
I would echo everything Friedman says on that. I would fade Peter Skoronski as the pick here. I know a lot of people link that because he played at Northwestern, which is right in the Bears' backyard. Yeah, he doesn't. They need a tackle, and Skoronski's arms are probably too short to stick a tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. He moves to guard. Let's go to number 10 here, Philadelphia Eagles from the Saints. This is a pick, too, where we've heard some people say, hey, the Eagles are ready to go right back and win. Bijan's at plus 750 there. I continue to like Nolan Smith, Pat, at plus 500. If he's still on the board, to me, I think this is a great fit for them. What are your thoughts here in terms of investing in the Eagles at 10 in this last of the top 10 guys that we're looking at in terms of the teams?
I've got bets here down on both Carter at plus 500 and Bijan at plus 650. I mean, if Carter slides, the Eagles could stop the slide. And there's even been rumor about them possibly trading up for Carter. The thinking is that maybe they could, you know, pair him with his college teammate, Jordan Davis, who apparently was a good influence on Carter in the Georgia locker room when they were together. And how unstoppable would the Eagles be if they did decide to draft Bijan Robinson? Like, I know they have other needs too, especially on defense, but I mean, if you've got Bijan Robinson, your defense doesn't need to be great because you're scoring 30 or more points most weeks. So, you know, like, it's really tempting to match up Bijan with the Eagles. Yeah, so those are my two plays here. I don't know about an edge guy. Cornerback, I suppose, is a possibility, but maybe they could address that with their second pick in the first round, because cornerback is one of the deeper positions in this draft.
Friedman, your thoughts here with the Eagles. Do they go for it all, or they just go play it safe?
Edge and defensive tackle seem like the most likely, just to me, in terms of looking at mock drafts and stuff like that. But I gotta say, offensive line has taken a lot of heat recently at number 10 for the Eagles. And Skoronski makes a lot of sense for them because he can play right guard right away. You've got a center and a right tackle who are both awesome, but both might retire in a year. And Skoronski has the flexibility to play either of those positions, potentially center, probably right tackle, probably, but he could be an awesome right guard immediately. So I can see Skoronski at number 10. I haven't bet it. I haven't mocked it, but it's on the radar.
All right, let's play a little lightning round right here with the number of players at a position going in round one. So I want your gut reaction. I'm going to give you the number. You tell me over or under. You ready to play? Let's go. I don't care if you're ready to play. We're playing. Total number of quarterbacks in the first round. 4.5 is the number. Friedman, over or under?
Under. Hard under for me.
Hard under for me as well.
I'm not buying Hendon Hooker.
All right. Fitz. Three for three?
I think under two. I'm not as quite as convinced as Friedman, but I do think his instincts are probably right on that.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the next one here. Total number of running backs in the first round. 1.5 is the number. Fitz, over or under?
Under for me. I like it at plus money. I can't find a fit for Jahmyr Gibbs that makes sense in the back end of the first round.
I agree. I am with the Bijan standalone RB in round one. Friedman, three for three.
Yeah, I'll go under, but it's a tentative under. I'm going to hate myself with it later.
You and your tentative unders. Let's go to tight ends in the first round. Everybody loves the tight ends. Over under 2.5 being selected. Friedman, over under.
Massive under.
I agree. Massive under. 2 for 2. Clean sweep here, Fitz.
Under. It's exactly 2.
Okay. I think it could be 1, to tell you the truth, because everybody loves these tight ends so much. They say, hey, we can get one in round 2. We like Laporta. We like Musgrave. We like all these other guys. Wide receivers drafted in round 1. Over under 3.5. That's the number. Pat, what do you say?
Under. Really close call, though. I think that's 50-50.
I'm going under. I think it could be as little as 2 or maybe even 1. I think this class is starting. I think the defensive players, the offensive linemen, they're starting to pull up the board here. What do you think here, Friedman? Over or under on the 3.5?
I take under, but 3.5 is a good number.
Okay. I like that you're giving the book some good support there. Defensive backs draft in round 1. 5.5 is the number, Friedman. Over, under?
I have to say, I'm actually going under on this, and there's pretty massive positive numbers to the under here. And I would be betting that.
That's plus 140 there. What do you think about this number, Fitz? Over, under 5.5 defensive backs in round 1?
I still like over, even with, minus 188 or something like that. I mean, 5 locks in Witherspoon, Gonzalez, Joey Porter, Deontay Banks, and Brian Branch. We just need one more of, Keely Ringo, Emmanuel Forbes, Cam Smith. I like it over.
I think 5.5, just to jump in here, 5.5 is the perfect number. So I wouldn't be betting it if this was like minus 110, minus 115, but I would bet either side at plus money.
Okay, plus money on the 5.5 unders where you got. All right, offensive lineman, last one here to do. 6.5 is the number. Fits over or under 6.5 O linemen going in round 1.
Man, the under, but I'm not convinced. Like, I think we could see guys like Joe Tippmann, John Michael Schmitz, maybe even Cody Mock slip into the first round. So I'm guessing under, but I'm not betting it.
Okay. Friedman, your thoughts on the lineman, 6.5.
Okay. When I said massive plus money earlier, this is the one that I was thinking of. I'm going under, and it's close. I think 5.5 is probably the right line, but you can bet it like plus 300 odds under 5.5 offensive linemen.
Okay. All right. Let's have some fun here at the end. We're going to take some of our favorite players in fantasy, and we're going to talk about our favorite bet for them to land in a spot here. Let's start with Bijan Robinson. My favorite is still the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to die on this hill, and that's fine. I'll die alone. It is plus 1,000, move from plus 1,400 to plus 1,000 in just 24 hours. Friedman, your favorite Bijan pick and wager is what?
I don't really have one, to be honest. Okay. It's impossible to mock
respected.
Him.
All right. How about you, Pat? Do you have a favorite Bijan spot?
Yeah, Eagles at plus, I think, 750. And I'm fading the Falcons as being the heavy favorites to get him.
Jackson Smith and Jigba. Do you have a favorite spot for him, Pat?
Aaron Rodgers is gone. The Packers have to take a first round wide receiver finally, don't they? I mean, just to rub some salt in the wound. I think it's the Packers.
They are the favorite at plus 200.
Ideal landings. They have no one in the receiver room other than Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Like, that's it.
Friedman, your thoughts here on JSN's landing spot. Do you have a wager?
Yeah, actually interested in the Patriots at plus 850. The Packers also don't really have a tight end, so they could potentially take Dalton Kincaid or Michael Mayer at number 13, and that means JSN slips to the Patriots at number 14.
Three more, and it's probably not going to be a day one thing. More likely end of round 1, but more likely I see even than that round 2. Jahmyr Gibbs, Friedman, do you have a landing spot? I know yesterday on our FP show, in our mock, we had the Miami Dolphins taking him. That's plus 1,000. You like that?
I honestly, this is just like throwing up something in the air and being like, hey, where do you think he lands? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. But I will say, the Cowboys, like, they have been linked to running backs. And if Bijan Robinson is gone, it feels very Jerry Jones to be like, let's just take the next best running back, Jahmyr Gibbs. So I know that's plus 650. I haven't bet it. I don't like it, but I fear it.
Okay. Do you fear Jahmyr Gibbs' landing spot here, Pat?
Look, I think the Bengals are probably going tight end in the first round, but there is a small chance that they take Gibbs late in the first round, and that allows them to release Joe Mixon, as has been rumored. And right now that's plus 1,000. So I've got a small bet down on that. But for what it's worth, Gibbs has had visits with the Eagles, Buccaneers, and Bears.
Pat, I know you've been waiting to talk Hendon Hooker. Where does he land? What's your favorite wager for Hooker? Man. Come on.
Oh, God, I want to see him land on the Vikings so bad, just because, you know, I'm
to make Thor
Vikings
upset.
Fan.
I respect that.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. The Titans, Seahawks, Lions all make sense. I kind of like the Lions at plus 1,000 just because they have four picks in the first two rounds. And, you know, could scoop him up in a couple of different spots, conceivably.
I like where Pat's head's at, because we did talk about, like, how long you're going to run this Jared Goff thing. Maybe you take a project like Hendon Hooker. What do you think? You work it for a couple of years, and then maybe you pass the torch if things go well in development, Friedman?
I'm not really touching any of the likely landing spots for Hendon Hooker. And I would say, like, I could see him falling. I know there's some hype on him, but, like, I have him ranked like in the 40s or 50. I think Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked in that range, just kind of in like the big board. Like, honestly, if I had to bet anything on Hendon Hooker, it would be going to FanDuel, going to the very bottom of the odds, and betting just a little bit on all of the teams that are like 300-1. To take Hendon Hooker, because I think it's much more of like a 1 out of 32 proposition than what we're seeing on the boards here.
Fascinating. All right, let's close it out on Quentin Johnson. Where's the best fit for Quentin Johnston in Europe?
Sorry, one more. Hendon, I will actually say something. Okay. Hendon Hooker, 300-1. this is so stupid. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, 300-1 to Philadelphia Eagles. There you go. There, Matthew Friedman's contribution
in the second round.
Okay, in the second round. All right. Okay, so let's finish it out with Quentin Johnston now. Friedman, where do you have him potentially landing? The board has the Vikings, Ravens, Giants, Bills, Chiefs, and Rams here at the top.
Yeah, Giants feels like a reasonable landing spot. They need a wide receiver. They need a big wide receiver, and this fits the draft range.
Same agreement for you here, Fitz, or you got a different team in mind?
I think the Vikings and the Ravens are possibilities, because I think that's around the spot in the first round where I could see Quentin Johnston going. But man, he is a tough one. He has visited like 12 or 13 different teams, all of which could be possibilities, except maybe like the Rams, who I don't think are going to be picking high enough.
All right, there you have it, everybody. Make sure you're joining us live for the draft, because as these picks are unfolding, these odds are going to move. We're going to be talking about helping you wager. We are the best second screen experience for the NFL draft. Don't forget that. So watch the draft, watch us at the same time, because we're going to be breaking things down from the fantasy perspective, from the wagering perspective, to help you with all of your investments across all of those platforms. And don't forget to like this video, share, and subscribe to Betting Pros, and click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications. And if you drop a comment below on some of your predictions, somebody's going to win a free premium upgrade to Betting Pros, or you could just go right now and upgrade, as it were, and not leave your life to chance at bettingpros.com/premium. That's what you want to do. And check out BetMGM too, and use that promo code JUICE when you sign up. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Fitz and Friedman, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge.
or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.